Hey, welcome to the Centre podcast. We're a church based in Dural, Sydney, who love Jesus and want to share the message of hope that he brings for all people. We pray that you're blessed by this word and that it reveals God's love for you in a new way. Enjoy.
So today we're reading out of Matthew 14, verses 22 to 36. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Last week, Mitch brought a message called Practice Resurrection, which called on us to pursue things that have eternal value. Which during the week, when I was thinking about his message, I said, are there aspects in my life that I'm pursuing that are more about me and my wants and needs rather than eternal values? Well, currently I'm reading in the scriptures passages that I've read many times before. It's about when Moses leads the nation of Israel out of captivity. You know, you remember the stories, you know, he's trying to get out, Pharaoh won't release the Israelites. So God rains down all these plagues that makes Pharaoh want to get rid of him. And of course, as they start to leave, then Pharaoh decides he might get them back. And of course, God parts the Red Sea and they go across. How amazing that would be. And now Moses grows older and he hands the leadership over to Joshua, and I'm sure that was a very daunting thing for him. That's what he does. And Moses tells Joshua this. Can we have the first slide, please? He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Incredible, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. I was talking with one of my friends, Keith. Keith is in his late 80s, probably pushing 90, I think. And he was part of our church family at Warragamba. And we speak every couple of weeks or so. And he always asks me what I'm reading generally, and then what am I reading in the Bible? And I was talking to this, and I was talking to him about this need to be strong and courageous. I don't think it wants to stay up there, does it? I haven't bent it too much. And Keith then reminded me that his uncle, Robert Beefham, in World War I, fought at the Battle of the Somme, and despite being wounded, showed such incredible courage and was awarded the Victoria's Cross posthumously, which means that he passed away before he could receive it, and because Robert was killed in 1918 near Villers Bretonneux. And his medal is on display at the War Memorial. I've been to the War Memorial, but I haven't actually looked out for Robert's medal, but next time I go, I will. And I wanted to ask you, are you strong and courageous? Fear is more about an emotion, isn't it? And sometimes that's totally illogical with the way we think. For example, have you ever watched a scary movie and got those chills? You know those chills. I'm sure I'm not the only person that's felt that way. Get real. You can change the station. You can turn it off. But we still get scared by it, don't we? It's strange. It's not logical. So I was asking myself, am I strong and courageous? And I don't know about you, when I evaluate myself, I usually start with all the negatives. So I started with the negative and I said, what are the things that scare me? Well, it's not so much scary movies because we don't play those at my house. But it's things like spiders and snakes. My wife Barbara is always reminding me when I've sprayed a spider to kill it, you don't need to drown it. You don't need to keep spraying. But I tend to want to do that. And then there's deep water. I'm a terrible swimmer. So anything above about here on my chest is getting scary to me. But the one that really scares me that comes up more often is heights. I hate heights. I get scared. So climbing a ladder is quite traumatic to me. During the week when we had that strong wind and strong rain, we somehow some rain got under our tiles and it actually leaked a little bit in our house. So having lots of son-in-laws and being able to make use of them, my son-in-law Andy was up on the roof having a look at what the problem was. But towards the end he said to me, I just want to show you something. And I went, really? Okay. So I reluctantly climbed up the ladder. I didn't get on the roof. That's too far too scary for me. But I got up there. It's illogical, really, when you think about it, isn't it? Because it's not that likely you're going to fall off a ladder. Well, I might. It's more an emotional thing than a logical thing. But I contrast that with something serious in my life. In 2018, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I've had surgery, and then a year or so later, I had radiation and all that. But my attitude towards that has always been the same from the first day. I've been relaxed about it. I'm not fearful about cancer. Well, that's not very logical, isn't it? Something to be feared with. It's much more scary to me climbing a ladder than worrying about cancer. It's still there somewhere in my body, but it's very small. Hopefully it behaves itself. I'd love it to disappear. Thank you for anybody prayed for me for it to disappear. I'm not sure that my emotional response ties up with the logic of that. And with all of that in mind, I decided to call my message today One Rung at a Time. Because as I climb through different challenges in life, some parts are easy, the first couple of steps on a ladder, and after that, progressively worse for me. I wonder, do you have a favourite character in the Bible? Someone that you admire how they handle challenges? You know, for me initially, it was David the shepherd boy. He's amazing. He goes out to fight Goliath and he only takes a slingshot. I would have liked to take a double-barrel shotgun or something like that. Give me much more chance. But he goes out anyway, which is courageous. But these days, I like someone else more than David. I like Simon Peter, who was, as we've read in the Bible, was in the boat. He's a simple fisherman. But when he encounters Jesus, he drops his nets, he leaves his boat behind, and he follows Jesus. He leaves everything that he's ever worked for behind him and goes. And of course, his brother Andrew goes with him, which is nice and special. I think that is quite courageous, to stop what you're doing and to do something else. And Peter's journey of faith is so well documented in the Bible. We read that he was, of course, the first person to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And he stays loyal to Jesus all the way, right up to Jesus' death. And then, of course, after, when he is reignited with Jesus. I love that about him. Peter was the rock. He was part of the foundations that builds the Christian church. He's so strong and courageous. But that's actually not the reason why I like him best, why he's a favourite with me. I don't think you'll ever guess why the other reason is. But the other reason is because he fails at times. He has a litany of failures. And somehow I can relate to him much better because he messes up sometimes. He doesn't get it right. So to me, he becomes much more plausible to me. At times, Peter is strong and courageous, and other times he's impetuous, stubborn, perhaps you could even say he's foolhardy. And just some of the mistakes he's made on that last night with Jesus at the Last Supper, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Now we know that it wasn't unusual to wash people's feet, but if you were the Lord, you were the leader, you were never going to wash anybody's feet. Your servants did it. The lowest of low servants wash feet. And Peter says to Jesus, like Jesus wouldn't know what he's doing, he says to him, "You'll never wash my feet." Because he thought it was something Jesus shouldn't be doing. And Jesus rebukes Peter. And though Peter goes from one extreme to the other, he immediately says, "Well, if that's the case, then wash my hands and wash my head and wash every other part of me." He never really gets it, Peter, and that's something I like about him in some ways. Gives me encouragement. And then, of course, there is the night when Jesus is arrested. But just before that, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives to pray. And he takes Peter and John and he says, will you stay awake and pray for me? Because it's difficult. We know, we heard last in Easter that, you know, Jesus dropped sweat, like drops of blood. He was anxious. Understandably, he knew what was to come. And he tells them to keep awake and basically to pray for him. And what does Peter do? He falls asleep. Jesus comes back to him, reminds him to keep awake. But again, Peter goes to sleep. Do you ever go to sleep after Jesus has told you something? Sometimes we do. We sleep on the job, in a sense. And then, of course, Peter boldly says that he will be with Jesus right up until his death. And then when Jesus is arrested, he's in the courtyard hearing the start of the trials, and three people ask him, you were with him, you're Galilean, aren't you? And Peter denies knowing Jesus. And then the condemnation he feels as that rooster crows. Tough times for Peter. Tough times indeed. But I identify with Peter because I love that he's passionate about following Jesus. He's so passionate about doing it. And yet, so often he fails, just as I fail. So often I give in to my sin and my own selfish ways and my own insecurities, and those rungs on the ladder become impossible to climb for me. Our passage that Evan read for us, well, just before that passage, Jesus has the crowds following him. I wonder why they followed him. Are they looking for his great teaching from him, maybe? Are they looking for, just out of curiosity, who is this bloke called Jesus? Maybe that as well. Or are they hoping that he might do some sort of miracle that they could understand, and they go, wow, he is really clever. He's the greatest magician of all time. He can do crazy things that we couldn't dream of. Well, Jesus does teach the crowd, but he also performs a miracle. And the interesting thing is that only the disciples witness it and are aware of it. He, of course, takes five loaves and two fish, and he divides it, and everyone gets fed. Now, we're told there were 5,000 men, and it doesn't mention women and children. So sorry if you're a woman or a child. You were important. You're just not listed in the 5,000. And Jesus divides this food. Everyone gets a feed. And at the end of it, they tell us they collected 12 baskets of broken bits of fish and bread. What an incredible miracle. Imagine if you were one of those disciples right there. How would you be affected? You know, when we read the scriptures, we have to connect with it. I'd be staggered. I'd be waiting to go and tell someone who wasn't there what happened. Incredible, isn't it? We see miracles every day. We just don't really acknowledge them. Ever had an answer to prayer? I've seen God, when I've prayed about things, I've seen where there appears to be no answer, but I've also seen times where God answers in a way that I would never have imagined. We see babies born, little Jasmine there. Don't tell me that's not a miracle of God. Yeah, we know that Lucinda and Drew had something to do with it. We know that, but we're not denying that. But it's a miracle, isn't it? The birth of a child is a miracle. No question about that. We see people being healed from diseases. These are miracles. Don't tell me that miracles were only in Old Testament times. They happen every day. And then I've had the privilege of seeing people come to faith, become a new person in Christ. That's an incredible miracle that God has restored them. So having fed the crowd, Jesus begins to teach them. But it's late in the day. Could we have the next slide, please? Yeah. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. No hanging around talking about the miracle. Get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. So the disciples have left, they're in the boat. No consideration about how Jesus is going to get there. He's just sent them away. And now the crowd has been dissipated and Jesus withdraws and prays. You know, if we are to pursue eternal life, we need to pray. But I wonder, do you doubt that God answers your prayers? I prayed with someone at TAFE this week who had some concerns about a family member who was ill. And I asked him, do you believe that God answers your prayers? Because they've never expressed to me that they necessarily believe. And they said, no, but I'm sure God listens to you, was their response to me. And I wanted to say to them, and I know he listens to you as well. And we prayed together. So does prayer really matter? Is it your habit to withdraw and pray? We have a prayer corner here over here. And I don't know what happens every single week, but you know, I know members of the prayer team are often there to pray. Each time I've been there, maybe it's because of me, I don't know, no one has ever come for prayer. I can't mix in any other crowd where people don't need prayer. And you're supposed to be mostly Christians, believers. Don't tell me you don't have prayer, need prayer. It might be something special. Whatever those rungs on the ladder are for you, can I encourage you to go and seek prayer? I really want to encourage you to do that because prayer moves things. It moves the mountains that are such big obstacles in our life. It moves them. And we get answers. Yes, I know you can go home and pray. If you don't want to go to the corner, can I ask you to pray with the people next to you? Some people start moving away at this stage from sitting next to anyone. But please pray. So don't be afraid of coming forward. Going forward to the corner doesn't mean you've got massive problems and everyone should feel sorry for you. It means you're ordinary. You're walking with God. Because we all have problems. I find it strange, as I say, that other people want to do that. I was reading a book this week about prayer. I've read it before a long time ago. In fact, I've got two copies of it. So if you want a copy of it, I haven't brought it with me, I'll give it to you. You can have it for free. It's by Philip Yancey. Could we have the next slide, please? Thank you. And this is what he says about prayer, whether prayer really matters. He said, when doubts creep in, and I wonder whether prayer is a sanctified form of talking to myself. Is that what you feel? Feel like it's a sanctum, like doing some sort of godly thing, talking to yourself? I remind myself that the Son of God, who had spoken worlds into being and sustains all that exists, felt a compelling need to pray. He prayed as if it made a difference. As if time he devoted to prayer mattered every bit as much as time he devoted to caring for people. you know, one of the things I love about this church is that we do so much. We reach people. We reach people having birthday parties and sports and inflatable world and the men's shed and hands and feet and all these other ways, classes in the morning to get you fit, all these things. And they all matter. Of course they do. They're ways that we touch people's lives with Jesus. But do you understand that prayer is equally important? In fact, it may be more important. It's not just about doing things. It's about praying and then doing things. The first rung on the ladder for all of us needs to be prayer as you climb that ladder. Now, of course, there's more things to come. The boat with the disciples is crossing the lake. The lake's about 5 miles wide, and they're going into the wind, so they're probably rowing. And they're about 3/4 of the way across the lake, and they've rowed about 3.5 miles. That would be a hard row, I think. Still 1.5 to go. But the wind is strong, and it's buffeting the boat. We're told it's in the fourth watch. So it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Ever felt like going rowing at 3 a.m. or between there and 6 a.m.? I suspect not. If we could have the next slide, please. Thank you. So during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, only Peter would say this, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Would you have got out of the boat? I think I would be in the crowd that said, would be terrified, thinking it was a ghost walking on the water to us. So I understand where the disciples are. And you know what would have happened to them? They would have immediately forgot about the miraculous 5,000 plus being fed. They're now in fear. Isn't that what happens? We see God move in our lives and do something. And then we come against another challenge, another rung, as I describe it, another step out of the boat of our lives. And we get fearful. We forget it's who God is. We forget about the power of God. We forget about all those things because we're in fear. We're starting to now rely on ourselves. And each rung on that ladder for me, as I've already told you, is scary. We forget. You know, as a new Christian, I've been a Christian about 6 weeks. And I hit one of those roadblocks in faith that we all face. I was starting to doubt. I had some doubts. I'd taken a long time to make a decision, but I started to doubt. And my spiritual father, my first spiritual father, who was Tom, who was Arthur Rickasey's father, Tom came to me and he gave me a verse. Can I have the next slide, please? There they are. And this first version of it has stayed in my heart and my mind for a long, long time. I've used it multiple times. It said I can do, it's from Philippians 4:13. It says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, I'm not relying on myself. You don't have to rely on yourself. You can rely on Jesus to help you, to give you courage when you don't have courage, to give you capability when you don't have capability. In fact, the more that is, the better. You know, that's how God works. And then this week when I was reading it, I'm sorry, I don't even know what version it came from, I was looking at this other version of the verse in a different version of the Bible, I must look up which one, came to me, and I think it explains it even more. It says, "Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am." Isn't that powerful? Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through with Jesus as my help. He makes me who I am. So as Jesus approaches the boat, Peter, this incredibly brave man, impulsive man, gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus. There's no logic here, is there? This is not a normal event. Peter is just responding in faith. And sometimes I think we need to understand what God is calling us to do, because there's often not much logic in what we think it is. We just need to respond to the call of Jesus. Does it call on you to be strong and courageous? Well, it does. You know, our prayer life, which I said was our first rung, will give you, will provide you with the information you need to know to take that step of faith, to get out of the boat or to climb some more rungs on that ladder. Taking a step of faith is definitely the second rung on life's ladder. But if we're led by prayer to take steps of faith, what happens next? Well, I don't know about you, but I know what happens next. Satan starts to challenge us. And we see what happens to Peter, this faithful man. What's he do? He takes his eyes off Jesus. And he starts to think. He's a bit slow getting to thinking sometimes, Peter. And he starts to think about, I'm walking on water. I can't do that. And as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he starts to sink. And that's what happens to us as too. Have you ever started something that you know God wants you to do, and then you take your eyes off Jesus and you start to doubt yourself? You start to doubt why I'm doing this. No longer do you feel strong and courageous. Our fears take over. We want to get back in the boat before we get into worse trouble. Well, for me, I want to climb back down the ladder, get my feet on the ground so I feel safe. And Satan applauds you. Your fears and doubts, he wants to feed into them. He loves you doing that. If we could have the next slide, please. Thank you. But Jesus doesn't abandon you. It says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Amazing, isn't it, really, when you think about it? Peter calls out to Jesus to save him, and immediately Jesus saves him. I wonder whether you need to reach out to Jesus. You're doing something that you think you were doing for God, and now you're starting to doubt and question yourself and your own abilities and all this. And you need to come back to Jesus. Satan wants you to believe that God doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you because you're unlovely. You're not beautiful enough. You're not faithful enough. In fact, you're not that special. You know, that's exactly how sometimes we feel. But it's not true. You are a child of God, each and every one of us. And you belong to a family. The family gathering which we're having here, this is part of God's family, is so big. And you belong to it in every way. I love this verse out of Hebrews, so I wanted to share it with you. Next slide, please. Thank you. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. Now, this verse has a lot more to it. I've just given you a short part of it. It's so important. I take that to mean when Jesus says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith, I take it to mean that he's written me into his story, that he has a story for my life. He has a plan for my life. And I might struggle to find what that is at times. But that's what he's done for me. He's written my story, and I'm part of it. And there's so many things in this world that make us want to withdraw, that make us doubt, move away from Jesus and try and work it out ourselves, when in fact we need to draw closer to Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on him. You see, I think all those other rungs, challenging as they might be, I need to focus on Jesus. Gina, the band can probably come up. I'm right at the end here. So friends, with your eyes on Jesus, will you step out of the boat that is, whatever life circumstances, will you step out in faith for him? Will you climb that ladder with all those remaining rungs, whatever, again, figurative, whatever that means for you, will you do that? And will you be strong and courageous? Allow God to lead you and to fill you with his Holy Spirit and his wisdom from the scriptures. As I've said earlier, prayer's available in the corner. Please take advantage of it. But I wanted to leave you with an ancient promise from the scriptures. It's a promise written for each and every one of us. Could we have the last slide, please? Thank you. It says, so do not fear. Are you fearful? It says, don't fear. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. My prayer is that God will encourage you today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to help others discover this channel. Check out the description if you want to find out more or get in touch with us at the Centre Dural. But in the meantime, praying for God's hand over you as you continue to step into everything Jesus has in store for your life. Be blessed.